This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back, folks, to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Today, we're talking about your worst online shopping experiences. Just a few days after 11/11, of course, some of you, I'm guessing quite a few of you, probably ordered something online, and there may have been a few mishaps along the way. We've asked you for some feedback regarding this and telling us some of your stories. We've got some messages over on WhatsApp that Arv's going to deal with.
Yeah, so this comes from Ong Seng Zee, who says, I regularly purchased things from Taobao. Once some sellers tended to send defects to me because I am an overseas buyer. After I put negative comments, I realized my subsequent orders were rejected. When I contacted the sellers, I was told because I gave negative feedback, they won't want to sell to me. They wanted good scores for their stores.
Ooh, yeah, so interesting.
Rigging, don't send defects, lah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. But they didn't want people to give negative. So rigging the stars, I guess.
Yes,
the rankings, I guess.
That's what they do.
Yeah. Number 0461 says, I bought a voice translator but found out it only works if you have a smartphone with data service. The seller is in China, but if you want to return, the address is in Lithuania. The postage would cost more than my refund.
Dropshipping, wow. Right there. Yep. That's what's happening there. Yep. I've got one ear here on Insta story from Adam Ikmal, who says, unprofessional transportation. Seems to be the common problem here. Logistics. Right, moving on to final story of the day. Audrey.
Yes.
Tell us all about what your favourite phone was.
Oh, yes. So much nostalgia attached to the Motorola Razr. I think it was one of the first phones that I bought for myself when I started working. Oh, my God, I'm revealing my age here. But yes, I love that phone. And, you know, then we had to move into smartphones and I've always missed it. But now it's back.
Mm.
And the new Motorola Razr, of course, is a foldable phone. It looks exactly, well, a lot like the Razr of old. So the old Razr was spelled with all caps, right? It was R-A-Z-R, all caps. But this one is all lowercase.
Oh.
That is one of the first differences that you will notice in just what it's called. But also, out of all the foldable smartphones that we've seen so far, we've had the Samsung Galaxy Fold, we've had the Huawei Mate 10. The Razr looks like it has the best shot at gaining traction because it solves a problem that we didn't know we had. So the problem is that 99% of smartphones today take up as much space in our pockets and bags when we don't need them as they do when we're using them.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it, right? So the new Razr flips open like the original one did years ago, but the new version has a foldable screen that extends from the top of the phone all the way to the bottom. When you're done using the Razr, you just fold it down, like flip it into a small compact device. And the cool thing here is that you can make the Razr smaller when you're not using it. To be clear, the size of a traditional smartphone, it really isn't a massive problem, is it? I mean, no one's throwing a tantrum over how big their smartphones are today. But that doesn't mean that the situation cannot be improved. If you look at the other foldable smartphones like the Galaxy Fold and the Huawei Mate 10, they start off as a regular size smartphone and they unfold into something bigger, a tablet that's actually... And that is actually kind of addressing a desire, not a problem, right? So it's the opposite. So the argument for bigger screens is that it provides for better experiences when you're using apps, playing games, or you're watching videos, and also that it allows for you to be more productive and you can multitask as well better on these bigger screens. But for me, I feel like this is true, I would, you know, if I wanted to be more productive or I wanted to multitask, then I'd just bring my laptop along, right?
Yeah. Hmm.
So personally, I would value the Razr's compact design over a smartphone that actually goes bigger. Now, we've had a chance to mess around with the Galaxy Fold when Jeff brought it into the office, right?
Mm.
And it was quite cool. But one of the things that I noticed was that you could actually really see where it was folding.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't a crease, but you know where it would kind of, like, bend and fold. Right? Mm. You could see that even when it was open flat. But with the Razr, there's absolutely no crease. It is absolutely flat. There are three steel plates that are in near constant contact with each other in the hinge itself. So it kind of forms a teardrop the screen forms a teardrop when it closes. So it doesn't actually fold down the middle. And that's why it can open up into an absolutely flat space. So now, while I am just raving about this phone here, I'm not saying that you should go out and buy it, because you know what it's like with these new inventions. There's always going to be some kinks that they need to sort out. Also, this phone costs $1,500.
What?
Yes, oof. It's kind of expensive. It has a slowish processor, which is potentially not a big issue, but I think they're just being safe with how fast the processor can be. And I think the processor was also chosen to save battery life, which has got me worried about the battery life of the phone now. And Moto doesn't have a great camera track record, and this doesn't really address that problem as well. And of course, it comes down once again to the cost of all of this being $1,500.
So the thing with the Galaxy Fold is that they had all those concerns in mind. They wanted to deal with the battery life. They wanted to make sure you had a proper camera. They wanted to make sure you had a proper screen. So the way they built the phone was two phones put into one.
Yeah.
When you fold it open, it becomes one tablet. The reason why it's so bulky, the reason why it has such a big body is because they wanted to make sure the battery would be able to sustain such a big screen.
Yep.
These guys, I mean, Razer obviously are going for aesthetics. It's not a performance phone.
Mm.
They want people to be able to take the phone out of their pocket and just flip it the way they did with the older phones, the older model. They want that flip as their design. It's their version of the white earbuds.
Mm.
So I think in that sense that it they, you know, this looks amazing. Like aesthetic wise, I think it beats the Galaxy Fold, because the Galaxy Fold is bulky.
Mm-hmm.
Performance wise, not even a question. Like it's not even going to come close. Like, you want a working performance phone to do a bunch of things like game and stuff, it's the Fold.
But wasn't that with the case when the Razer was originally released anyway? It wasn't like the top of its game in terms of smart tech and what it was.
Exactly.
It was a functional phone that looked cool, you know? And I think this has hit the nail squarely on the head with the way it's designed. It's tapping into nostalgia. They know that we want larger screens. They know that we want the other side of the screen to be useful as well.
Mm-hmm.
But what they've done for me, which I think is very smart, is the fact that we didn't really know much about this until it was already out.
Yeah.
You know, Samsung were all like singing and dancing, and Huawei were all singing and dancing. This is what we're doing. Look how cool we are. Look at what's happening. And Motorola slowly, quietly went, boom. Here you go. Look at what we've got. Merry Christmas.
So that's the thing, right? You know, with the Galaxy Fold, they had this huge unveiling, you know, and the media had a phone each and things like that. But with the Razer, they had a tiny little party, and this was not even the headlining showcase, right? It was just something that they slipped in there, the presentation. And it's staying true to how they would market the Razer from back in 2000, the early 2000s, right? It was something cool, understated, but it looks so sleek and so sexy.
It's iconic.
And like, yeah.
It's iconic, yeah.
Yeah.
The keyboard is another thing that you mentioned. Ah. The icon. Speaking of iconic.
Yes, so there's an Easter egg buried in the new foldable Razer, and that is that if you go somewhere into the quick settings and you dig for this, you can find a setting that applies the, like, how do I put this? The screen display looks like the light-up keypad from the early 2000 Razer. So from the all-caps Razer, so you basically, you open it up and you go into your quick settings and you can actually still have that 1, 2, 3, 4 keypad, that
got
blue
it.
Light-up keypad.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wonder if they built in the same sound effects, the you know, sort of pseudo-tactile sounds, you know, like you're clicking on the keyboard or you're pressing the keyboard. That would be nice.
I wonder if it, when it opens up and you first start, it goes, hello, Moto.
Oh,
wouldn't that
they
be
have
nice?
To. They have to.
They have
if
to
build something like this, they have to. Mm. But, you know, looks-wise, I mean, just looking at the pictures and seeing the way that it's flipping open, and just the function of it is amazing. The way it looks is so, so good.
Not that we don't like the Samsung Galaxy Fold.
No.
You know, these are two entirely different products that are hitting two entirely different wants and needs. Like you say, Ords, one is providing us with something bigger to look at the screen. One is providing us a little bit more convenience, I think. So it depends on which market you want to look at. But it's still that price point for me is still... It's a lot of money to spend on a smartphone.
It'll drop.
It will. Mm. But again, this is the first time they've done this. The tech behind it and the way in which they've done the hinges and the screen and whatever seems to have eliminated some of the problems that Samsung have done. So maybe the Razer 2 or whatever it is what maybe I might purchase.
And
I don't know.
And that's the thing. With more people doing this, the price will drop even faster, because I thought it's going to take a while before someone else comes up with a phone.
Yeah.
So, you know, Samsung would have that market and then you'd have to wait a couple of years before like other players came in, figured it out. But these guys did it fast.
Yeah.
Like a couple of weeks, less than a month. So with more people coming in like this, and once the China phones jump in and they start doing it, then the price is going to drop. You're going to be able able to buy one of these phones for like maybe 3K plus in a couple of years? Maybe.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Legally, like your Disney Plus watching.
You mean the Mandalorian?
That's right.
Is that the name of the show?
Apparently.
Ah.
I'd have to ask you.
Okay, I don't know. I have no idea. You know.
On that note, we're going to wrap up, ladies and gents. Thank you very much for all of your tweets, your WhatsApp messages, and your Instagram responses. Of course, we were asking you what has been your worst online shopping experience. We had a whole bunch of responses. We then moved on to...
Then we spoke about how Disney Plus has 10 million subscribers in 24 hours.
And finally, we ended the show with Motorola's new Razr solving a problem we didn't know we had.
Before Curtis Mayfield takes us out of the show with We're a Winner, just to let you know, the 1 o'clock Breakfast Grill replay, after the news, of course. Earlier this year, the Malaysian arm of the global public relations consulting firm Hill & Knowlton Strategies merged with Malaysian Lumos PR as part of its ASEAN growth strategy. The Breakfast Grill spoke with H.S. Chung, cluster lead for Hill & Knowlton Strategies of Asia. All coming up after the 1 o'clock news. Have a lovely weekend, folks. We're back on Monday, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.